Hey, Sean Gaby here. Welcome to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast.
Hey everyone, Sean Gaby here with the Supernatural Leadership Podcast, talking about the difference between principle-led leadership and presence-led leadership. We all have a leader within. Why not make that leader a little more supernatural? Enjoy today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome again to another Supernatural Leadership Podcast episode. My name is Sean Gaby. Thank you so much for tuning in, stopping by. It's been a little bit, it's been a minute since we've launched and released an episode. I took a few months off from producing content on this channel specifically, but we're back. Have some incredible content coming down the pipeline for the fall. You're not going to want to miss it. I believe that there will be impartation, activation in your leadership as it pertains to the supernatural. So don't miss out. Remember, write a review, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. Even though this is primarily an audio podcast, I'd encourage you, share it with your friends, share it with leaders in your network. This is powerfully changing lives as it pertains to bringing the supernatural, just like Daniel, into the marketplace. And so this is our goal. This is our heart. Everyone has a leader within, and our goal is to make that leader a little more supernatural in their everyday. I want to read this verse to you out of John chapter 10, verse 10. Many of you would know this verse. It's Jesus speaking. He says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life super," the word is abundant, "beyond your wildest dreams and imagination." But we know this premise, we know this truth that the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion. He's knocking at our door, trying to get in, trying to take what is not rightfully his so that he could stop the purposes and plans of God in our lives. And so our goal as believers is to discern these areas and position ourselves to fight so we don't let the thief take what's not rightfully his. Because we know God's plan for us is to prosper us and give us a super abundant life. And so we're diving into this concept today of the thief. And I have a very special guest today with us. Never had her before on this podcast before, but super excited to introduce her to you. Her name is Jane Hammond. And her and her husband reside out of Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. And for those of you that don't know her, I'm going to read her bio to you just to give you a little bit of a introduction to who she is. Jane Hammond is a sought-after speaker and prophetic voice, serving with her husband, Tom, as senior pastor of Vision Church. Together, they have built a thriving local church, ministered in more than 50 nations. She has written 6 insightful books, trained many in apostolic and prophetic ministry, and has established School of the Prophets, a 90-day online prophetic intensive. And for those of you that might be familiar with the last name, she is the daughter-in-law of Dr. Bill Hammond, who is a true legend as it pertains to teaching on the prophetic around the world. And so some of you would know that name. So I want to just welcome Jane Hammond to the episode. Welcome, Jane.
Hey, Sean, it's so great to be here with you today. I'm very honored.
So good to have you. And just like the premise of the verse I read in the beginning, we've had a little bit of warfare on this podcast so far. The yes. Video keeps stopping. And so the enemy is yes. trying to take, steal, kill, and destroy this episode. I mean, it's kind of prophetic, isn't it?
It is very prophetic, but we just keep pressing through, right?
Yeah. You get two prophetic people in the room and then all things start happening that connect to the theme and the conversation. It's always that way. It's like Ezekiel. God said to Ezekiel, eat the message, eat the scroll. Yeah. You can't deliver the message until it gets digested on the inside of you. So tell us a little bit. Okay. First of all, you just launched a book. I got it right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those of you that are watching the video, it's called Confronting the Thief, Taking Back What the Enemy Stole and Declare Divine Recovery Over Your Heart, Family, and Life. Powerful, powerful truth, powerful statement. Tell us a little bit, a Coles Notes version, what this book is about, and then bring us into a little bit of the beginning stages of your supernatural leadership journey.
You know, this book really comes out of a series of visions that I had that I'd just love to unpack a little bit. but also some personal experiences and some personal breakthroughs that we've watched people, business people in our church really come into. The book is really not just about breaking through financially, but it really is about breaking into abundant life in every single area, fulfilling your prophetic destiny, taking back your health, taking back your joy, taking back our nation. I believe that there's nations out there that God is looking for people within the nations to really rise up and contend on behalf of the nations. And so it really is something that the Lord kind of birthed inside of me. We've been in prophetic ministry for well over 40 years. As you said, my father-in-law is Dr. Bill Hammond, and he's considered to be the father of the modern prophetic movement by many. So my journey prophetically really came, I got saved at 14, filled with the Holy Spirit at 16. And the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice when I was 16 years old, raised by amazing parents, but they were basically agnostic scientists. So I was not taught any of the things of the Spirit of God. But one day the Lord spoke to me in my room and he said, the plans that you've made for your life are not the plans I've made for your life. Instead of going to that secular university that you've already got a scholarship to, I'm going to send you to Bible college. And I thought, oh, my parents are going to be thrilled with this. And he said, when you get there, you're going to meet a man and you're going to get married young. Again, my parents are not going to be thrilled. And I'm going to thrust you into the ministry. You're going to travel the nations of the world. And sometimes he'll preach and sometimes you'll preach because I'm going to make you a ministry team. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, you know, can you show me somebody that's doing what you're talking about? Because I had at 16 years old, zero exposure to any women doing any function in ministry, with the exception of maybe singing in the choir or teaching a Sunday school class. Wow. And I asked the Lord, can you show me somebody that's doing what I'm going to be doing so that I'll know what you're talking about? And the Lord said back to me, there's nobody doing now what you'll be doing then, because I'll be doing a new thing. And so I believe that we're living in the day of the new thing, not just for women, but I believe for the body of Christ, because he's releasing his prophetic voice that is bringing us keys that enable us to break through the most difficult, most impossible circumstances and situations. And so my entire journey with the Lord has really been a prophetic journey, one of learning how to hear the voice of God, learning how to teach others how to hear the voice of God, and learning how to fight back against the enemy. So I think that we've got to understand God's strategies, but we must also understand the enemy's strategy to keep us out of our prophetic calling and our prophetic destiny. And so when you read the scripture about the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. It literally means in the Greek, life that is super abundant in quality, superior in quantity, exceedingly above and beyond, more and more. And so I really wrote this book because I feel like there's been so many times that the thief has come to steal. And so often people in the body of Christ do not even recognize that it's been the hand of the enemy against them. And they don't recognize that we've been authorized by the word of God to actually take the things back that the enemy has stolen. Mm-hmm. And not just to recover what's been stolen, but you know, Exodus 22:7 says you can get a double portion when you catch a thief. And Proverbs 6:8 tells us that you can actually see a sevenfold return when you catch a thief and find out the things that he's been stolen, that he's been stealing. So I believe it's time for us to get our eyes opened, both to the plans and purposes of God, but also to the strategies of the enemy so that we know how to fight back.
That's amazing. You know, I love that verse. I actually wrote it down. It was going to be part of my third question I was going to ask you, but we'll just go there. Proverbs 6:30-31. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Verse 31 says, yet if he is caught, if he is exposed, if he is confronted, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. One of my favorite verses, because, you know, for years, you know, I have about a half the years of you, over 22 years in ministry. I don't have quite 40, but I have spent so many moments in my life where I felt robbed. The enemy has robbed me, and I've positioned myself in a place of prayer to fight and wrestle in the spirit in prayer. And in action, because it's both prayer and in action, positioning yourself to receive what the Bible really promises sevenfold. And I know the context of this can be seen through the lens of the enemy being the thief. But I know that when you the grace or the blessing comes by exposing the thief. Some people are robbed every day and don't know they're being robbed. They don't know they're being taken from. They don't know they're being stolen from. And so there's no ability to expose what you don't know is happening. But the moment you can see what the enemy is doing, I believe is the stepping stone to begin to take hold of and receive retribution, receive redemption, and receive sevenfold. And so what would you say, you know, okay, so I know we're going to get back into that. And I know you just shared a little bit of your journey. What do you feel God is saying right now, based upon what we just talked about out of Proverbs 6, as it pertains to leaders in the marketplace and even vocational ministry leaders right now?
Well, I think that it is imperative that we have God's perspective on what's happening. And maybe sometimes, you know, God takes us through processes. God gives us a promise. We go through processes in our walk with the Lord. But when we have God's perspective on what's happening to us, then we understand that the difference between God's process and the thief that's in action. This really happened, came to me out of a vision that I had. I was in a Sunday morning time of prayer, and I saw a vision of a boxing ring. I am not a boxing fan, but I saw a vision of a boxing ring. And inside the boxing ring, there were two demonic spirits. And inside, they were not fighting each other. They were kind of dancing around looking for an opponent. And I knew one of them was named the Devourer, and the other one was named the Destroyer. And they were dancing around, mocking the crowd that was gathered and saying, who's going to come fight us? Kind of like Goliath with Israel. Wow. And so they just, they were bold and they were pompous. And I was like, I wish somebody would just get in the ring and make them be quiet. So I looked at the vision, the people that were surrounding the ring, the people in the stands, in the audience. And these were all people that I knew. These were great leaders in the church. These were great marketplace leaders, people that were prosperous. These were people that were intercessors, people that were, that I would categorize as warriors. And they were just sitting there. And I was like, what is going on? Why won't one of them get up and get in that ring? And then I noticed something. You know how when a boxer comes out into the ring, they've got a robe around their shoulders that usually has their name on the back, and they kind of dance around with the robe and they take the robe off before they fight. But when these two demonic spirits were dancing around with the robe, my eye was drawn to that. And as they turned around, I noticed that it did not say devourer or destroyer. Instead, it said these words: this is just life.
Wow.
This is just life.
Wow.
And so the devourer was devouring, the destroyer was destroying, and all these great warriors had this mentality of, well, this is just what happens in a hard economy. You know, you might lose some finances, you might lose some contracts. I mean, this is just life. Or this is just life. This is what happens when you get older. Your physical body starts to break down and you get sick and you get weak. And this is just life. Or this is just life. This is what happens when you send your kids away to college. They start falling away from the faith, and, you know, but eventually they'll come back. And, you know, this is just life. And I realize this has been the mentality of so many in the body of Christ. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, tell them, no, this is not just life. There is a thief, there is a devourer, a destroyer that is at work. And my people have got to rise up and start seeing what the thief is doing and start rising up to take it back. And so that kind of started me on this whole journey of discovering the ways that the enemy has robbed from us, getting our eyes open so that we can respond to Proverbs chapter 6 and understand that we have a right to actually demand that that thief pay us back sevenfold.
Right. I think, like, when you say that this is just life, I think that's, I mean, as a, you and your husband lead a church, you mm-hmm. would see this in community even more, where so many people just accept suffering as this is just life. Now, we know we are promised suffering. We are promised mm-hmm. trials.
Right.
But we're not called to just sit in it and accept that this is always going to be the way that it is. You know, there is a joy that we can come out of it with. There is a, we eventually end seasons and cycles of suffering and come into breakthrough and victory. Like, we're not supposed to stay in it all the time. There are moments you might have an attack, but that attack is simply a setup to say, hey, I'm going to confront this attack. I'm going to confront the thief, and I'm going to receive redemption out of it. So would you say that, like, in your even pastoring, and I know that you travel as well, would you say that one of the biggest challenges that you face when exposing this is helping people through a mindset that they've accepted that this is just life?
Absolutely. I think that so many times people develop a victim mentality rather than understanding that we've already been given victory in Christ. Right. And they, out of that victim mentality, they start feeling hopeless and helpless and defeated. And they're no longer being proactive with their faith to start taking back the things that the enemy has stolen. The morning that I shared this vision, there was a couple sitting in our church that were a business couple, amazing, amazing couple that were conducting business in the state of Florida. That's where we live. And their business was to install a certain kind of technology within the Florida school systems. And they were operating on a state grant year by year, working from county to county, installing this into the county school systems. And their grant was in the amount of $1.5 million. And they were, you know, been doing it for several years. Well, the year before I had this revelation, their grant got canceled. They got a letter from the state saying, I'm sorry, but due to the economy, there's no more money for this project. We are going to have to postpone it. Please reapply next year. We'll see if we can get your funding back. But for now, everything is canceled. And so he and his partner ended up laying off most of their employees, and they continued to try to work to finish some of the project that was being done based on what they had already been, you know, trying to get finished what they had already started. But they'd basically been running out of their savings, living off of just basically what they had. Mm-hmm. And as I shared this vision, the man looked at his wife and he says, oh my gosh, we've been robbed. It was like, ding, 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 light bulbs going off. Oh my gosh, we've been robbed. And so they went home and they prayed about it. And they said, you know, Lord, what is it that we do that we need to do to position ourselves to take back what has been stolen? And so what they did is they decided they were going to reapply for their funding, even though it wasn't time to do that. They heard the voice of the Lord say, go ahead and reapply for that. Then they wrote a decree. See, I think a decree is different than a prayer. Prayer is a supplication. A decree is the word of God fueled with authority and declaring what God has already prophetically spoken over their lives. They wrote out a decree. And then the next Sunday, they brought the new application. They brought the decree and they brought an offering. All of these were things that they could do in faith to partner with God.
I love it. Just to interrupt you there for a second, like, that prayer and action. That's mm-hmm. what I see. It's so important. I think so many people spend so much time just praying, but they never act. Mm-hmm. And so they brought an offering. You said they positioned themselves. I love that.
Yeah. And so they brought all this to us. So it was a refiling for the application, a decree, and an offering, every bit of it being very, very proactive. They brought it to us and they had us pray over it. They had us pray and decree over this act of faith. And so we said, amen. They turned to go. And I said, hey, listen, don't be concerned if they tell you no before they tell you yes. And so that was a prophetic word for them. Don't be worried about that. So sure enough, a couple weeks go by and they get a call from our state Senate and our state House, our representatives, and they respond to their application. And they said, listen, as we've explained to you, there's no money for this project right now. So we told you to fill out an application next year. So it is not time for you to fill this out yet. So we are going to stamp this application denied. So sorry, try again next year. And so when they hung up the phone, they said, she told us they'd tell us no before they told us yes. They just told us no. That means they're getting ready to tell us yes. So they were engaging their faith in the prophetic, and they were saying it out loud. So about a week later, they get a call from our governor's office, and the conversation starts this way. Well, it looks like your application for funding has been approved. Now, I just want to point out, they did not say to them, oh no, I thought it was denied. No, they didn't say that. They said, no, yes, it has. Yes, it has been approved. And the people from the governor's office said, but, you know, we've researched your file and we found that this project was never supposed to have been defunded in the first place. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to restore your funding from last year. the 1.5 million from last year, but we're going to also double your funding for this year so that you can accelerate the project. So you'll be getting a check in the mail for $4.5 million in the next week.
Wow.
Get back to work. We need this project funded. Now, it didn't end there, Sean, because over the next several weeks, they got three more phone calls, one that raised their annual funding to $9 million, the next one that raised their funding to $17 million, and a third phone call that raised their annual funding to $25 million in addition to the 1.5 that they were owed from the year before. So that is more than sevenfold. It is an exponential return. So I want to point out they went from the verge of bankruptcy to super, super abundance because they caught the thief, they confronted the thief, and they demanded that he pay them back.
Wow. I love that. And I love that, like, you hear this happening in the context of the marketplace. I love that you hear this happening with people not just looking at it like through the lens of, oh, this is the life of business. Cause, you know, like your vision of the bathrobes and the boxing, it's like, it's not just this is life as a Christian. It's like life in business can feel often like, okay, you're going to have bankruptcy. You're going to have bad months. You're going to have break-ins. It's just the life of business. But you hear you have a story where business people, people in the marketplace are saying, no, this is not just life in business. You know, we're part of a different kingdom, and we're going to confront all the areas where the thief has stolen from us, you know? And I think of it not just in the context of like the big things, you know, because often it's really easy to confront the thief or see what the thief is doing in big areas of our life, like sickness, you know, attacks on our business, attacks on our, maybe our marriages or families. It's very easy to see the attack, but what about the attacks on the small things? Things that maybe you think, oh, that's just also life, you know, like the car breaks down, the car blows up, the, you know, those little things that happen, the engine, the transmission blows up, like these little things that we also, I think, need to see that the enemy is after, because the little foxes spoil the vine. I mean, Song of Solomon says it, little foxes spoil the vine. That's actually the little things that can create big mountains in our life.
Absolutely.
And we also need to focus on the little things. And I was thinking about a story, actually. You actually kind of, you reminded me of it because of what your vision was. It's actually really interesting because years ago, and this is like a small little thing, but this is the beginning stages when I started to really confront the thief in the little areas of my life. And I remember our account, our checking account was hacked and a bunch of money was stolen. And our banking system could not find where it was stolen from. And there was a big, you know, issue there. They could not figure out where it was taken. It was a big problem. It was taking forever for them to even get information back to us. And I was really frustrated. And I think sometimes the frustration can either lead us to anxiety, fear, or lead us to our knees and say, okay, I'm confronting this thief. And that's what I did. I approached a just God in the courtroom of heaven by faith in prayer. And I remember I went into this encounter and I saw a bathrobe. I remember this. It's like your vision. It's interesting. And I can't remember this day. This is a long time ago now, if I was wearing the bathrobe or if I just seeing the bathrobe, but I remember seeing the bathrobe, and on the bathrobe had the name of the store where the money was taken, like the store that actually hacked our checking account. So when I went back and I was confident, I knew this was the store that took the money. This is where the hack happened. This is where it all went down. I called the bank and it was in fact, and I shared this information with them and it was in fact true. And because of that, we got all the money back like in record time. And I've had many stories and many moments like these where the little things God has redeemed. And I just want to encourage people, like, don't just think of confronting the thief for the big things that are obvious. Also, there's permission granted to confront the thief for the little things. And what do you say about that? Like, I mean, you must have tons of stories and you know, scenarios where this has happened in your own life or in people that you know.
Absolutely. You know, in our church, we've encouraged people that that no amount of robbery is too small. I mean, when you realize that that a thief has taken things from you, whether it's finances or whether it is, you know, all those other things, you know, sometimes we want to believe God for the big things like cancer, and we maybe don't want to believe God for For a sore knee,
absolutely.
Life things. It's like, how about let's start out by right with the very things that we're dealing with on a very small level. And so I think that it's kind of like there's no level of crime that we should not be willing to prosecute with the enemy. We had a business couple in our community that they navigated, we went through a very difficult time in the panhandle back in 2007, 2008, when there was a global economic meltdown in 2008. And our real estate market really got hit very hard in 2007. And there was there's a spirit-filled couple in our area that navigated this. They were in the real estate business, but they navigated the downturn by listening to the Holy Spirit, by positioning themselves in this amazing way. And they actually prospered during the times of downturn. So, I mean, I think that really is our goal, is that regardless of what's happening in the world today, is that, and I think that we're in for a lot more chaos in the days ahead. I'm not trying to discourage people, but I just really feel like that is kind of prophetically what we're sensing. But the Lord has kind of said to me, I'm going to let my people experience victory in the midst of chaos. So there was this business couple and they did phenomenal. Number of years later, we were in a big gathering of business leaders and Christian business leaders in our community. And I saw them across the room and I waved at them. I said, hey, and as soon as I did, I heard the Lord say, walk over there and break a spirit of robbery off of their business. Wow. And I thought, honestly, Sean, I actually argued with Todd. I was like, God, a robbery? Really? I mean, they seem like they've been so blessed and they've led so many other people. And I was telling God all of their credentials. And the Lord's like, shh, would you just go do it? So it's like, okay. Right. So I walked over, greeted them. And I said, listen, the Lord told me that I was supposed to come break a spirit of robbery off of you. And her eyes filled up with tears. She says, oh my gosh, is that what's been going on? We've been trying to figure it out. And they, as they were in real estate, they said, over the last 5 weeks, every time we've come to the closing table, something has gone monumentally wrong. And we've ended up losing $5.5 million of deals in the last 5 weeks.
Wow.
And I said, well, the Lord said it's a spirit of robbery. And then they talked about things happening in their family, things happening in their office. Wow. And it was like it all added up. I'd never even heard the phrase spirit of robbery. So I said, well, let's take authority over this. And so we took authority over it. And I said, according to Exodus 22:7, we demand he pays you back double in the next 5 weeks. And so 5 weeks later, she called me. She says, listen, we just closed on our last real estate deal in the last 5 weeks, and that real estate deal totaled $11 million. So wow. They received double for their trouble. And, I think I think sometimes they would have just continued to drift through saying, I wonder what we did wrong, or I wonder where we're missing it, or self-doubt or whatever, without realizing, no, there's actually a thief that's involved here. And when you confront him and you put a demand on him, then he actually does have to restore to you what he's taken and then some.
Hey, pause, a little commercial break. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you, and you're wanting to take your supernatural leadership to the next level, visit supernaturalleadership.com and join one of our on-demand courses. It is going to change the game. So many amazing testimonies already have come out of people over the years taking this course content. I want to encourage you, sign up today. We have a special offer for you. And as well, if you want to go even deeper and take your leadership to the next level, I would encourage you, and maybe you've already thought about this before, but getting a coach, a one-on-one mentor. Well, I have an opportunity that I want to invite you into with myself, one-on-one mentoring and coaching. It may be a short time or even a longer time. We have many different coaching packages that we offer, and I want to encourage you to consider this today. I believe it will take your leadership to the next level. Dream interpretation, growing in your discipleship, growing in the word, maybe even preparation for you for vocational ministry and bringing the supernatural into every sphere of society. I want to encourage you today, click the link in the description, fill out the survey, and we'll see if coaching is a good fit for you.
Wow. And even, I think about that. That's an amazing story. I think about, like, there's a fine line between our own decisions and consequences that come from our own decisions. Mm-hmm. Then we have to clean up. And then just like what you said, a spirit of robbery. But even for those people out there listening that, maybe you'd say, well, for me, maybe it's not been a spirit of robbery. I've made some really bad decisions that have caught up with me that I'm now dealing with. But even in that space, God is a merciful God.
He is.
And we can approach the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need. That's Hebrews 4, verse 16. And like when we're in need, like that's our place of approach, the throne of grace, you know, that enables us, gives us the power we need to overcome any challenge, to approach the throne of grace, to obtain, which we need mercy. Mercy is not giving you what you do deserve. We need mercy in time of need. And so even for those that are like, you know, like I did this to myself, there is a place in the spirit where you can still approach God who's merciful and say, God, like, please, you know, release mercy over the situation. Maybe I deserved it because I did something stupid with this business deal, but release your mercy.
Yeah. I love that scripture about the throne of grace. And I see an Old Testament story that, you know, kind of really exemplifies this, that it's not even her fault, but the Shunammite in 2 Kings chapter 8, she listens to the prophet. The prophet says, hey, there's a famine coming to the land and you need to move out of your house and get out of this land and go live wherever you want to and come back in 7 years because the famine will be over. And she does that. But when she comes back, she actually finds out that somebody else has moved into her house and taken over her land. And so she goes before the king, the throne of grace, if you will. She goes before the king to make an appeal for her house and her land. She doesn't just say, oh, well, I guess that this is just how it is. I was gone for 7 years. I mean, she was obeying God. Okay. So maybe on one hand, you've made a mistake and you need to come before the throne of grace. Maybe you obeyed God and that obedience actually cost you. She still went to the king and she made an appeal to the king. And when the king heard her appeal, he said that he told his servant, he said, I want you to restore all that is hers and restore all that should have been hers from the time that she left the land until now. Mm. So I like to point out, she made an appeal for her house and for her land. So the house, I believe, is for our personal stuff. You know, we need to learn how to make an appeal for our family, for our own stuff, for our own personal things. But we also need to learn how to make an appeal for our land. That's our cities and our nations. And I believe that we have to contend with God on behalf of our cities, our territories, our land, and our nation. Mm-hmm. And in saying that, Sean, part of our testimony is that 40 years ago, God moved us to the beautiful panhandle of Florida in a completely undeveloped area, 3 miles from some of the most beautiful beaches you'll ever see. Come visit. It's beautiful. Wow. But what was here, there was nothing here, not a gas station, not a grocery store. Nothing was here. But I'll tell you what was here is about 10 occult groups that were in the land, witches, Satanists, pagans, psychic healers, psychic gurus, Satanist groups. It was crazy. We had to pray those things out of our land. And I have a point to make in this, is that when we prayed those out, what was left was still a spirit of poverty that had still taken over our land. And I know that your broadcast loves to talk about transformation. So we engaged as a church, as a people, in praying for transformation. Here were the statistics. In the year 2000, in the state of Florida, out of 67 counties, we were 64th on the economic scale. We were one of the poorest counties in the state of Florida. Wow. We had the worst schools in the state. We had a corrupt law enforcement. We had a non-existent business community because businesses would open, then they would go bankrupt and close. One right after the next, land developers would start to develop land. It would shut down. It was absolutely a spiritual force. And as the Lord began to speak to us, he gave us spiritual insight over our land, over our territory, and how to pray. And we prayed, we walked the land, we spoke to the land, we poured out on the land, we mobilized the business community to pray over the business sector. We mobilized people in government to pray over the government sector. We walked and prayed over our beaches, over our neighborhoods. And I will tell you today, 24 years later, we are now one of the top revenue producers in the state of Florida. We are one of four of the fastest growing counties in the United States of America. Wow. We have the number two school system in the state of Florida. Our superintendent of schools was nominated superintendent of the year for the state. Our law enforcement is now the model law enforcement organization for the state of Florida, as is our Chamber of Commerce business community. They have they've become a model for business communities all over America. This is what happens when the people of God say, you know what? We're not going to leave well enough alone. We're going to rise up. We believe that when the kingdom of God comes to earth, it does have the power to bring transformation into individual lives, but into territories as well.
That's amazing. How long, like from when you started to really pray and confront this until you saw measurable movement and breakthrough?
Well, you know, we started seeing the witchcraft forces moving out within just a short period of time. And when I'm talking about those things, I'm talking about that they didn't just exist in the same space as us. They were leaving decapitated animals on the doorsteps of our churches and spilling sacrificial blood on the properties of our church and astral projecting into our homes. So, I mean, that was kind of our first thing. we had to deal with that. Right. But in regards to the issue of poverty, God gave us a strategy in the year 2000. And again, when we did all those statistics, within 18 months, we were named the fastest growing real estate market in the continental United States.
Wow.
So we went from being one of the poorest counties to being one of the fastest growing real estate markets within 18 months. So that was our first measurable change. Wow. And we started seeing businesses in the area start experiencing breakthrough. We started seeing them experiencing growth. We started seeing new things begin to pop up. Wow. So it was not a overnight success, but we did see some signs in the early days of praying over our territory that enabled us. Now, I will say about 7 years in, we had that real estate market collapse in this area. But really it was because what had happened is when poverty got broken off, greed moved in. And we had to understand how to steward our area against greed, which is just as insidious of a demonic spirit as poverty is.
Yeah, because when you're moving into an abundance, the big temptation is that now it's never enough.
Right.
You know, you go from provision, you go from barely surviving to you're swimming in it, and now you just want more. The temptation is always to the extreme, right? So that makes a lot of sense. And I just would say, like, whether it's 18 months or whether it's 20 years, like Joseph, I mean, Joseph is an amazing story in the Old Testament of redemption, retribution. Same with Job, you know, kind of losing a lot consistently, yet continuing to find favor in every season of loss, and then yet coming out on top, seeing his dreams fulfilled, and, you know, his brothers end up, you know, coming to have need of him, and how God preserved his life for Egypt, for his family. And but whether it's 18 months or 20 years, like, I just think that we need this revelation of however long it takes, we're to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking until we see breakthrough in an area. I think poverty, I mean, you said poverty like feels, it's like you shared this story about this business couple, about how, you know, you had this word about spirit of robbery. It always amazes me. And I know everybody's at a different level in their sort of perspectives and spiritual maturity, but it always amazes me how sometimes people just can't see basic patterns, right? Like people in your family die, you have three family members die in a week, you have your business go bankrupt, and all these things are happening around you within a short period of time, and yet you can't see the patterns. And I think sometimes, to be honest, I think sometimes it's a spirit of poverty that blinds us from seeing it. It's the spirit that says, this is life. Mm-hmm. The spirit of poverty really is a mindset that accepts I'm not value. I'm not valuable. I'm not worth. God doesn't see my value as worth anything. And so I'm just going to survive. I'm not going to thrive. I'm just going to barely make it. That spirit of poverty really is a huge blinder. And it stops us from being able to see and confront the thief, like in your book. Like, it stops us from being able to, like, really perceive what really is happening. Because how we perceive the position from which we perceive life will determine our ability to receive life in the right way. If we perceive life as this is life, I'm only ever going to survive. I will receive life from that vantage point of only barely making it. The moment we shift our perspective, expose the pattern, see where we're off, that's when we set ourselves up for victory. And so I wanted to say this really quick here. I know this is a big, I haven't read the book yet. I have to confess, I haven't read it. I've skimmed through some of it, but I haven't, the reason why I haven't been able to read it is because one of our executive leaders had it when it came in the mail. And she actually, it's funny because she's a judge. She's an actual judge in the capital city of Ottawa here. We're a capital.
Wow.
She's a judge and she didn't want to take, let me have it back. She was like reading it. She loved it. She wanted, I don't know if she finished it, but she said it was like, she didn't want to put it down. So you have a judge here in Ottawa that loves your book, which is great. And that's what judges do. Judges spend their time confronting thieves in the natural.
That's right.
That's what they do.
That's right.
So interesting. But tell me, like, for the listeners out there, out of this entire book, what would you say your, like, the theme or the chapter or the thought that you are most excited about that carries the most potent weight and authority in this season?
So the whole book really kind of follows the journey of Israel's confrontation with the Amalekite tribe, because the Amalekites were those that plundered Israel. And in every story that we find Israel confronting the Amalekites are stealing from them, stealing their prosperity or stealing their health, picking off the feeble ones, stealing their family members. I mean, it's quite an interesting journey. But the book culminates, and this, I think, is, as a prophet, I think the thing that excites me the most is that about 2 years ago, the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said to me, tell the people that it is time for the hanging of Haman's 10 sons.
Wow.
And that's what I said. Wow. Okay. But what does that mean, God? Okay. And so I had studied extensively in the book of Esther. And for those of you that have read the book of Esther, I do want to point out that his name is Haman, not Haman, which is my name. Okay. So don't cast out the spirit of Haman. Okay. Quit that. All right. Okay.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, we know that Haman wrote a decree of death and destruction against God's people. But the thing is that Haman was an Agagite. And who was Agag? Agag was the king of the Amalekites, the king of the robber tribe, the king of the plundering tribe. But except he lives 500 years after Agag. And so what's interesting is we know that he had this mission to his decree said, on such and such a day, wherever you find one of God's people, you can kill them and take their property. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds exactly like John 10:10. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we know that Esther ends up thwarting his purpose, he ends up getting hung on the gallows that he had prepared to hang Mordecai on. And we think that's the end. Except in the very next chapter, chapter 8, we see Esther still coming before the king and saying, hey, king, I need you to do something about this decree. Because see, Haman was dead, but his decree wasn't dead. And neither were his 10 sons, who are now furious. And so sometimes we win these victories in the body of Christ. We have a breakthrough, if you will, but the word breakthrough literally means to go through and beyond. The church has been pretty good about breaking through. We've been terrible about going beyond. So when the Lord spoke this to me 1 week later here in America, and I know this is not being broadcast just to America, but here in America, 1 week to the day that the Lord spoke that to me, we saw the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which was our nationalized Amazing. Law on abortion.
Amazing.
And so Haman was dead, but the abortion issue is not dead. Okay. And matter of fact, it's multiplied. And there's now a lot of Haman's sons, if you will, that are rising up to try to push the issue. That's just one of the issues. So what I found is that each one of Haman's 10 sons, their Persian names, that each one of their names actually has a meaning of something that tries to rob from the quality of our life or the quantity of our blessings.
Wow.
Each one of their names is the name of a thief.
Love that.
And how do we confront that? And how do we see Haman's 10 sons that are coming after God's people, but also coming after nations? How do we deal with those things in order to see them defeated? And so to me, the book was very progressive in its journey of seeing how these things rob from us on an individual level, but then also to try to see how God is concerned about nations and generations and wants to set both free.
And then God spoke to you. So just to recap again, God spoke to you about you being a part of hanging the 10 sons of Haman, or was How did he say it again?
He said, it's time. Tell the people it's time for the hanging of Haman's 10
sons.
Now,
did you feel like God gave you strategy of what that looks like? Is it prayer? Like what's the strategy? Did you feel God gave you a strategy?
I think it's a combination of number one, making people alert. In my chapter right before that, I talk about being an Esther church, and that's not just a message for women. See, I believe the book of Esther is a blueprint for the modern day ecclesia, the modern day church that's being raised up to understand that we've got authority to overthrow the decrees of the enemy. And kind of like you were saying, you know, three family members die and we just say, this is just life. That is such a fatalistic way of thinking.
Yeah.
But I've heard people say, well, my grandmother was poor. My mother was poor. I guess I'm going to always be poor. Yeah. Or, you know, these generational patterns. So I think that we have to identify, first of all, that we are God's restraining force in the midst of the earth. God has raised up the church, not to just sing kumbaya, not to just gather as a sweet little family. We do have a sweet little church family, but we are also an army. We are also an ecclesia. We are also a legislative body, which is what ecclesia means, to rule and reign in the earth. And so when we approach Haman's 10 sons, I try to help people to understand these concepts of legislation and spiritual warfare. And I basically lay out the meaning of the names and how they rob from us. Mm. I also lay out prayers of repentance, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And many times we've actually partnered with these things. Like, for example, the very first name is Parshandatha. And Parshandatha, according to a Hebrew rabbi that studied the Persian language, basically said that this name means that which leads people away from the study of God's word.
Wow. Wow.
So that's what that name means. Yeah. And so really what this is a spirit of distraction. It's a spirit of apathy.
That spirit is alive today.
Yes. It's a spirit of entertainment, a spirit of distraction, apathy, complacency. And so you know what we have to do? We have to recognize it. We have to recognize the way it's robbing from us, robbing from our spiritual strength, our spiritual journey, robbing from our families. And then we need to repent. So I lead you in a prayer of repentance. And then we make some decrees, because Isaiah chapter 10 says, woe to those that make unrighteous decrees. And so we begin to declare woe to each one of these names, and we break the power of it off of our own lives. And then when we do this in a corporate setting, I believe it can become a blueprint for interceding for your city, a blueprint for interceding for a nation to see God come in and turn it around exactly the same way he did for Esther and Mordecai in those days.
Wow, that's wild. What chapter is that in again?
Chapter 10.
So that's based on this vision that you had, or this moment you had with God about the hanging of Haman's 10 sons. That's wild. That is really amazing. That's awesome. I love that so much. You know, I just want to comment on one thing before we wrap it up here. I think that, you know, you were talking earlier about the spirit of poverty. We kind of, and then picked it up again, addressed it. I think, you know, the only way, and maybe you can speak into this too as well, the only way we really shift our mindset, I would say, is by taking time to press in and push to renew our mindset through the word of God. Like I think of, okay, if you struggle with feeling like you're not valuable, you struggle with this is life mentality, like your vision, just, I'm always just going to survive. My mom had this. My grandma had this. Everybody in my family had this. And you just accept that. The only way through that is to let God renew your thinking in those areas by the study of the opposite of that. If you feel like you're always going to struggle financially, you should spend time studying every day God's plan and heart to prosper you financially in the scripture. Like, you should be diving in every day to that. Like, don't lean into the thing that you're already struggling with, lean into the opposite so that you can renew your thinking for transformation. Would you say that to be true?
Absolutely. And really what I do is I tell on myself, because I had one day the Lord said to me, Jane, you know, you are an accomplice to your own robbery. That's the way the Lord said it to me. You're an accomplice to your own robbery. And I had a poverty mindset. I was not raised in poverty. My parents were not poor. But when I made a decision to serve the Lord in full-time ministry, one of my family members said to me, oh, what are you going to do? Be one of those money-grabbing preachers. I mean, isn't that sad that that's how the world thinks about it? But I have to say, I made an internal vow that I would rather have nothing than ever be accused of being in ministry for money.
Wow. Yep.
And see how sneaky the enemy is? Because I want to tell you that that vow really worked. Because we had nothing. And until I could really realize that that was an ungodly mindset, it was a non-biblical, ungodly mindset, I had to be willing to break that internal vow. I had to be willing to do exactly what you just said and get into the Word of God to find out what God's Word has to say. And I do this in the book. I take people through this. I try to attack those kinds of mindsets that are setting us up to actually become an accomplice to our own poverty and to our own robbery. And so chapter by chapter, whether it's dealing with health, whether it's dealing with our own destiny and our own mindset of how we see each other, whether it's dealing with the issues of finances, I am systematically going through and attacking the mindsets that will keep us in a place of bondage. Wow. And so, because so much of this is not just about binding the devil, sometimes it's about binding ourselves. Sometimes it's about getting our own stinking thinking into alignment with what the Word of God has to say, because when we do that, God opens the windows of heaven and God begins to cause blessing to come, and He'll rebuke the devourer for our sake when we partner with Him in the right way.
Wow. So I have one question for everybody listening out there right now. Where have you been an accomplice to your own robbery? I want you to think on that, meditate on that in this time of your life. Figure out, where have you become an accomplice? I love that. I love that word that you just shared, Jane. That was powerful. I think so many people would relate to that and now be maybe more aware of areas where they've partnered with the thief that they're complaining about that is stolen from them. They've partnered with that thief. They've partnered with that robbery and didn't even know it, but today they're going to know it. And so Jane, give us, as we close, give us some, like, how can we activate some of this stuff? I know obviously one big part is, if you're out there, buy this book, get this book, read this book, study this book. But outside of that, what's one area or what's one activation that you would say is powerful to apply today and the next, you know, several days or whatever, for those that are in the marketplace, those that maybe, you know, you're an at-home mom, at-home dad leading family, maybe you're in full-time vocational ministry, whatever space or place you find yourself in, give us some sort of activation.
Okay. So I want everybody here to write and file a robbery report. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you were to come home and discover that your house had been robbed, that is not a prophetic word. Okay. I'm just saying, if you were to come home and find out, hey man, my house has been robbed while I was out, you're going to call the cops. And the cops are going to come, and the first thing they're going to say is, can you give me a detailed list of what's been stolen? Okay. And then you're going to file that report with the authorities. And for, as believers, we're going to file that in the court of heaven. We're going to present that to the Lord before the court of heaven, because that becomes the first step in you getting your stuff back. Okay. My father-in-law's house was robbed. And that's what they did. They said, give us a list of what was stolen. And several weeks later, they actually found some of his property that was being hawked, you know, being sold in pawn stores and different things like that. It was the first step in getting back what was stolen. So you're going to carry that into the court of heaven, and you're going to present that to the just judge, and you're going to make an appeal to him for whatever it's been stolen. Please don't just think of money. Think beyond that. It is money. It's not just money. But think about the things that have been robbed from you. Make a list of that. And then get yourself some good scriptures. Write yourself a decree. If you've got the book, there's some great decrees in the book that you can begin to speak on a daily basis that are filled with the word of God that bring you into agreement with what God has said. Because what the enemy wants to do is just continue to cause you to say, this is life. It's helpless. It's hopeless. I'm defeated. And what you're doing is you're being proactive and shifting out of that. You're making an appeal before the throne of grace, whether you were at fault or not. That's what grace is for. You're going to begin to make an appeal and you're going to begin to require that of the enemy. I also encourage people to pray in the Spirit, because when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're speaking mysteries over that, because it's a mystery to us how God's going to bring it back. It's a mystery to us how God makes this come back around. But I'm telling you, when we pray in the Spirit, there's power that's released. So do the prophetic steps of making decrees, praying in the Spirit. God may lead you to sow an offering somewhere just as a sign of faith and engagement, being proactive in this season over the next 30 days. Do this every single day. And then it'd be great to hear some of the reports of watching what the Lord has returned to your hands.
Well, that's amazing. I love that activation. I think that writing out a robbery report is so, so important, so powerful, helps us to identify and become aware of all the areas, whether little or big, that we have been robbed, so that we can position ourselves to confront what has been stolen and receive retribution, receive redemption, receive, whether it's double, triple, sevenfold in return, whatever has been stolen. I believe this is a word for us in this season. Jane, this has been an amazing conversation. So thankful that I had the opportunity to chat with you about your new book, chat with you about this content. So powerful for this hour, for the body of Christ, for those that are leading in so many different areas. Of course, you can get this book, I'm assuming, everywhere on all platforms, Amazon included. Right. Is that clear? Is that
absolutely
true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. On all platforms, or they can go to janehammond.com. So that's a great way to get it as well. I do want to mention that I do have a course that's getting ready to roll out as this is being broadcast. And you can go to www.confront777.com and find out more about this course that I'm going to be rolling out, where I'm going into each of these subjects very, very in depth, and really releasing an empowerment. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, you can find it on my website, janehammond.com, or again, confront777.com. And be sure that people can go to my YouTube channel. It's at Jane Hammond TV, and I'm constantly rolling out prophetic content like this. So always want to be a blessing and encouragement to people in the body of Christ.
Amazing. Amazing. And we'll put all that information in the description, so it makes it easy for people to connect with you on as well. And so I'd encourage you, do that. If you're listening, buy the book, get connected to her, all of her resources that she offers, visit those websites that are in the description. And I know it will bless you. Well, Jane, thank you so much again for taking time on the Supernatural Leadership Podcast. It was a pleasure having you. Once again, thank you so much for all of our all of our listeners who are listening to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast. Remember, every one of you has a leader within. Let's make that leader a little more supernatural. My name is Sean Gaby, and we'll see you next time.
If this podcast has been an investment into your life and or impacted you in any way, we are incredibly thankful. We would love for you to join us in being able to continue bringing leadership content like this every month. Of course, it does not come without a cost, and our heart is to continue bringing you more improved quality and content. If you would like to partner with us with a one-time financial gift or to sign up as a monthly partner, you can do so at kingdomculture.ca. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast.